Okay, we are picking up from the Gemara Memon of Aleph. We are four lines from the top of the words. Ve'amar Abaye. So again, another Chumra from Abaye over here. Amar Abaye lo lichruch inish treis shibule bahadeh adadeh. Person shouldn't singe two stalks of grain together. Dilma nafki maya mahayu bala ida, because the moisture is going to come from one while you're singeing the first one, and it's going to come and absorb in the second one. Vaisa lichimut, and it's going to come to create chamet, because this moisture is coming out. Abaye apparently holds that the juice is coming out of these fruits and vegetables, which normally are qualified as mei piros, those are still going to be able to become chametz. And therefore, you have a problem over here. And Rava rejects this. Amar le Rava, Rava's response to him, in ihache filu chadanami. So then according to you, why should it matter if I have two stalks or one stalk? Even one stalk, I should be usher to do it. Why? Because the bionet, where I'm starting to seep out from one kernel and it's coming to the other end, in the process, it's going to have some moisture come out of it and go into the second one, and therefore it should be the same exact problem. So it says, Rava, Elamar Rava, Mei Peros. No, this whole thing is juice. A fruit of mei peros enach machmitz. Now we know the halacha is that mei peros are not do not cause any chametz. Does not cause something to become chametz. V'hadarbe Abaye me'ahi. And anyway, the Gemara points out that Abaye retracted his ruling for a different reason, because to call agav midalayu, anything as long as liquid is considered flowing lo mechamtze, does not cause it to become chametz. So we see he ended up agreeing lo mitama of Rava that mei peros are not going to be in a machmitz, but he does end up halacha meisa on this din agree with Rava. So the Gemara continues, Damar Abaye, for Abaye told us, so how do we know that he retracted? Hi chutzba de uvshina. If you have a jug that was used for toasting grain, the halacha is going to be the following, schifa shari. If you're turning over the kli to toast it, then it's going to be mutter, because when you face it downward, the moisture that's coming out is not going to reabsorb in the other grains, and therefore, it's not, Rashi points out, that therefore Abaye is going to assume that it's not going to become absorbed. We see that Abaye retracted his earlier isser of the saying the two things together is going to be usser. However, zekife usser, if it's upright, then in fact it would still remain usser, because then the moisture in the kli is going to reabsorb and cause it to become chametz. So Gemara says, Rav Amar, I feel as if I'm sure that this again, Rav is going to come to disagree at this point as well, because mei peros, at the end of the day, it's considered juice of fruit, and we know mei peros and machmitzim, and the juice of fruit is not going to become chametz. Halacha l'maisa, we go, this is not one of the alkagam, right? We only paskin like Abaye in six cases. This is not one of those six cases. We paskin like Rav. A juice of fruit cannot become chametz. However, we have a chumrah that really that if it has any other parts to it, if it might have some water with it or other things, then it would create a process that would actually make it come chametz even quicker. And therefore, the Rama is choshish for that. She tosos, and he writes the minhag of Ashkenazim is not to mix fruit juice in foods at all, and that, except if you have a chole v'zaken, that's the only time we're makel. But we're really in this is mamish the shasid chak. A person should not be using maybe Piros, that's the fruit juice for matzah. We're very machmir about the Ashkenazim. I once saw a fruit juice, I didn't notice, it was a fruit juice matzah, and I almost bought it, and like in very small letters, it wasn't Tzemes, in very small letters, it said like, this says fruit juice and not only for cholim and zakenim. It should be in big letters, and it should be very clear that should be the case, because the Ashkenazim mamish hold that it's only a shasid chak, a person who's healthy should not, Baruch Hashem, I noticed it, but it should be careful that Ashkenazim do not have that mei peros. So that's what comes out from this din over here. Now the Gemara continues. Tanu Rabbana, we have another halacha in the Braisa, which teaches us ein losin sor bePesach. You shouldn't soak barley grains on Pesach. So here we're discussing lasisa, is soaking the grain, which makes it, which would remove the bran and also make the flour better. So since it's making the much better, it should be mutter. Now this, what exactly is the reason ein losin bePesach? L'chora, the Rishonim point out that it's exera derabbanan. That it's exera derabbanan is because we are assuming that at the end of the day, that the Rabbanan made a gzera over here, that it's concerned people are not going to be careful once to make sure that it doesn't become chametz, or maybe it'll absorb more water than you think, so therefore you shouldn't soak them, and it would lead to a problem. So the Gemara says, v'im lasis, however, if you did soak them, then it's going to be a shaila, what to do. Nisbaku aser, if the grain split, then it's going to be aser, because that is going to become chametz very easily. Lo nisbaku, however, if they are in a situation where they didn't split completely, the grains didn't split, that's going to be mutter to use mutaro. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shorin v'chometz. Rabbi Yossi said you should soak them in vinegar v'chometz somsan. and the vinegar is going to contract and make them smaller, it's not going to be a problem. So the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, Amar Shmuel ein halacha k'Rabbi Yossi. Shmuel says halacha does not follow Rabbi Yossi, and that according to Rabbi Yossi, vinegar doesn't have the power to stop the making of chametz. We don't hold like that. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chista, Amar Mar Ukva, lo nisqueh mamash. Now Mar Ukva wants to tanya that didn't mean it actually has to split completely. Anything that you put over the top of a barrel of wine, hayin is bag malayin, and it would split on their own. That's considered split halacha l'maisa, and it would therefore be aser. However, Shmuel is going to be more makel. Shmuel says no. That's why I said we're going to discuss when it comes splitting, because there's a shayla and amora. What exactly does it mean split? Shmuel split. Split means split. I'm going to split mamash that it has to actually split completely according to Shmuel. The Gemara says Avad Shmuel of the Beros at the Vei Bar Chashu. Shmuel actually paskin this way in a case where it happened in Bar, and the name of the person Bar Chashu. Nisbaku mamash in Ishita, there was a case where it wasn't actually split completely, and he was makel. He permitted the use of the barley that it became very much. It swelled up a lot. However, it didn't split completely. And again, he was being makel like his shita. The Gemara continues. Amar Rabba. Rabba said, Bal nefesh lo yiltos. That a person is a bal nefesh. Bal nefesh, and Mishnah Berurah have all the time, that bal nefesh should be machmer. So what is it? Rabbi Rashi says over here, bal nefesh, someone's a chassid. And the Girsa adds in, a yirei shemayim acharid al nashar, someone is careful with his nefesh. Rav Shechter always understands that when the Mishnah Berurah says the lashon of bal nefesh, it doesn't mean that he thinks that every person looks at himself and says, I'm a bal nefesh, should be machmer. No, if a person is roi lakach to pick that chumrah, he thinks should be machmer. That's not necessarily the consensus. I think I once asked Rav Nevin Shlita about that. When a Mishnah Berurah says the lashon of bal nefesh, that's something that everyone should try to do. Because I think Rav Nevinzel thought yes, that it is something that everyone should strive to try to do, and not necessarily something that only someone who's of a Baal Nefesh status of someone like this, of a chassid, but in general, so everyone should try to be machmir. Okay, that's a shayla in general, the lashon, again, who's the Mishnah Berurah's lashon of Baal Nefesh is shayach to this Gemara necessarily at all. Maybe he also meant something else, but just interesting to point out the lashon of Baal Nefesh. The Gemara continues. So again, only someone who's a Baal Nefesh, a chassid, shouldn't soak it. So the Gemara said, wait a second, what do you mean? Mayor Baal Nefesh, why only someone who's very machmir? Before that, based on the brisa, the Hatanya ain't losin sorim pesach. We just quoted the brisa before that said you shouldn't soak barley and water on Pesach, and that was for the hamonam. That was for every single average Joe. That wasn't for someone who's a dafka bal nefesh. The Gemara says halachi kamar. This is what Rabbi meant. Bal nefesh afilu chitin deshiri lo yiltos. Bal nefesh should be machmer even wheat which is hard. That's a chumrah, because normally we're saying that this din is really for soft grains, and that's why it makes sense to be machmer. That's for the amona, and that's for everybody. Here, according to Rabbah, he's adding in even chitin, which are very hard, which is much less likely to become chametz. Even that you shouldn't soak. The Gemara says, Amar Lerav Nachman, Man Detzaisle LeAbba. Someone who's machmer Abba here wasn't actually his father. The Rosh Hashanah points out it's the lashon of kavod. So he says, he's going to listen to Abba's words. If you're going to listen to Rabbah, is going to eat very spoiled, disgusting bread. It's not going to be clean. The wheat's not going to be washed. It's not going to be on a good quality. So therefore, Rav Nachman thought that this was an unnecessary chumrah and going to ruin the taste of the matzah. So Gemara says, the Gemara continues to bring a raya for this. Daha Beirav Huna Lasisi Beirav Huna. They would soak the wheat on Pesach. Beirav Baravin Lasisi, and also Rav Baravin. They would also soak it on Pesach. So Gemara says a third sheet. Now, Rav Amar Aser Liltos. Rav says that it's Aser to soak it in wheat. It's completely Aser. That applies to everybody, not just for Yerush Shemayim Bal Nefesh, but for everybody. The Gemara says, El Adasim, wait a second. The Brisa says, Ein Lo Sin Sorim Pesach Sorina Delo, which implies that only specifically you shouldn't soak barley on Pesach. However, Chiti Shari, that sounds like the Brisa would have permit wheat. How could Rava make this blanket statement that every type of grain is going to be Aser? So Gemara says, no, Rava answers this. Lo Mi Bai, the Brisa meant that there's no need to even say this halacha. Lo Mi Bai Chiti, you don't even need to mention that you shouldn't soak wheat, cave unto Isbe Sira, because wheat has these, like a cleft in them, and Ailebu Mai, and therefore water is going to come into them and make them chametz very easily. So clearly you should be machmer in that. However, barley, which is much more smooth, doesn't have these cracks, then I would have thought that it's going to be mutter to soak them on Pesach because it doesn't easily enter them. Therefore the Tana has to tell you that it's specifically usher by barley and kolshik, and I know that's what the Lomi Bai, that's what I was saying, that you don't even need to mention wheat, it's pashut, and wheat should be usher. So Gemara continues, Hadar Marava. Rava then went back on this, he retracted what he says. Mutter liltos, he actually said it's permitted to soak wheat. Tisanya, yotzin bepastikia, one to eat matzah with white bread, meaning with matzah, vehadra, and also with coarse bread, and Rava thought that if this price tells you it's mutter, and it, in to do that, and it must be done through, how do you make it a good fine bread? Is only with soaking it in grain. So therefore, the brisa must be permitting soaking. The Gemara says, "Asi v'Rav Papa l'Rava." Rav Papa has a question on Rava from the brisa. The brisa says, "Kamachiv asfalz v'sonachrim." The lashon again, according to Rava's assumption that bread, that white bread, it can't be made without soaking it first. The Gemara says that really true though. "Kamachim v'asfalz v'sonachrim." If you have these flowers and fine flowers of non-Jews, the lach is going to be shal kfarim tohorim. If there are villagers, going to be considered tahor, they're not going to be susceptible to tuma. The villagers aren't careful about cleaning their flour. So since they don't bother cleaning their flour, they're not going to put on water, which would then make it susceptible to tuma. That would make it, right? We have a chiyutan, has to be ratzon. So if they didn't do it, they didn't put on any water, then it's not going to become susceptible to tuma. Whereas that of the people who live in the cities, those are going to be tameh. They're going to be susceptible to tuma. Why? Because they soak their grain to produce clean flour. So what do we see from over here? The Gemara says, "Dekfarim ma'itama la mishum delo lasise." Now, isn't it? So, what's the reason the flour of the village is not going to be susceptible to tuma? Because they don't soak them in the grain. Yet, karle solas, the brisa uses the lashon of this better kind of flour. It calls it fine flour solas, which is usually referred to fine flour. And so, therefore, we seem to see that something can be considered fine flour. You could have white bread that's not necessarily been soaked, because that's what the brisa seems to assume from the fact of kfarim. So the Gemara says, no, Targum HaKimcha, the Bresa's Lashon of flour of the villagers, that's only referring to plain flour. It's not necessarily soles. It's not going to be considered fine flour, and therefore it doesn't have a question on Rava. So the Gemara says another proof against Rava. The Gemara says, Basar Nafik, after Rava left, Amar Rav Papa said, oh man, my time alone, I'm in. It happens sometimes, like a person is learning with someone, and he says, oh, I had a good Raya, and I forgot to tell him. So Rav Papa was upset. I forgot to say this Raya to Rava. What was this Raya? So now Rav Papa tells everybody, to Amar Rabbi Zera, Amar Rabbi Yirmi, Amar Shmuel, they say in Shmuel, Chitin Shel Menachos, the wheat that was used for a mincha offering, they shouldn't be soaked, yet the Torah calls them fine flour, and they're not allowed to be soaked. So we see that something is going to be considered called fine flour without being soaked. So that seems to be a good raya against Rava. Now, the Gemara points out that Rava himself, anyway, retracted. Hadar Amar Rava. Rava then said, mitzvah lilsa. Not only did I say that it was okay, there's not b'dievet, rather, now it's even a mitzvah to soak the grains in the matzah. Shnemar, shmartam es ha-matzos, you should guard the matzahs. And how am I supposed to guard them? Ilo debay lesisa, if you don't have to soak them, and to make sure that they're made into fine flour, ashimur lamai. So what am I specifically guarding them from? How am I doing a proper guarding? Where apparently he's assuming that the best, when you need to guard something, it needs to be, that it had to be in a situation where it would have been guarded, that it need to, it would have a chashash of becoming chametz. So you must be that you pour the water on, and soaking them, being careful it doesn't become chametz. So the Gemara says, because ishimur delisha, if you're talking about guarding the chametz and watching it doesn't become chametz during the kneading process, that can't be that that's the only thing called shimur, because, so the Gemara says again, shimur lamai, because shimur delisha, then I would have said if it comes during the kneading process, it can't be shimur delisha lav shimur, because guarding it during the kneading alone is not considered guarding it, and therefore not suffice to fill the requirement of ushmarta v'sa mitzvah. So therefore, the Amar Ravuna, and the Gemara's going to prove for this, the Amar Ravuna batikol shel nachrim, Ravuna said the dough of a nachri that did not become chametz yet, it didn't become, we didn't see any cracks or any strands of it becoming chametz, adam malakreso mehen, a person can have eat them on the night of Pesach. However, you're not going to be yotze matzah. So you can have them. They're not going to be considered chametz, but they're not considered it's not going to be a shmira. You don't have a correct shmira, and you need a shmira lishma for the matzah. And a goy can't have shmira lishma. Bacharona in. So what does Rav Huna imply? That only you can have them and not fulfill the obligation of matzah. Brishon Olo, you can't have them as matzah. Even though they're not going to become chametz, they're not going to be considered matzah. And Rav Adal is just going to prove his point. Rav says, my taima. So what's the reasoning? You're not going to fulfill the obligation with matzah with the goy's dough. So the Gemara says, Mishum Delovar Behushimur, because he did not guard it. He can't do lishma and guard it. So the Gemara says, V'la'avile shimur ma'afila ve'ilech, but let the goy do the Yisrael do the shimur from baking onwards, and therefore fulfill the mitzvah. Allah Shmamino, what do we see? Shimur meikara, but you know, we need a shimur from the giving even before the kneading process begins. That's what Rava wants to point out. That's what we see from here, that you need a shimur from the beginning. So the Gemara says, umimai, but from what is your proof? How can you're going to make this proof? And the fact that you need shimur from the fact that after the kneading process begins, dilma shani asa, maybe that case is different. Divaina did not hit the shimur at the time where it became a point where it needs to be guarded. The Jew has to be careful when the flour is added to the water. Lo avid le shimur, he didn't do any guarding. Therefore, that is the problem over there. However, hecha divaina nachet le shimur, if a Jew was watching it at that point where he puts the water in, not as early as Rava wants to say, avid le shimur, shimer, hachanami de shimer delisha have shimer. So to then at that point, the guarding it is going to be considered a proper guarding, and it's going to be a proper guarding for matzah, and that would be valid. So the Gemara shows that Rava, Rava lechor doesn't have a proof from there, because again, maybe this was only talking about a later stage, not right away when you first cut it. You have to be careful to make the shimer and wash and water it down. So we don't need a shimer as early as Rava was trying to tie. Now the Gemara says, "V'halachi afilu hachi lo adar be Rava." At this point, the Gemara says that Rava did not retract his opinion. Because Rava said to those who turned over the sheaves at the harvest time to tie them into bundles, what would he tell them? When you turn them over, afilu l'shem mitzvah, you have to do it lishma and be careful to do a garden proper shimer. So therefore, alma kasaver shimer may come and chilas of atzipunet. So that's required for Rava that you needed, but the gardening process has to start even at the very beginning stage of harvesting until the very end of the baking of the matzah, and that is the halacha. That is the halacha that we point out. Rava, so what comes out is a few things, a few haras from this, is that that's how we paskin halacha maisa. The Rif points out that's why you always find when the box is a matzah is shmura mitzasha ktirasa. That comes from this gemara that you have to do the shmura right away. You need to do it from the beginning process of cutting it off and starting the process of taking the wheat. At that point, it still needs a shmura lishma. The Chassam Sofer just wonders. I don't know what they do now. I'm actually curious, but the Chassam Sofer was wondering that how could it be that the minhag is that so many people that a goy is the one who cuts it. And Yisrael is just Omer al Gabav watching to make sure that he's doing the proper thing, and that's considered Shmira. So he says why should that be? So he says at the end of the day that what is the word of Shmira to ensure it's not becoming chametz, and the Jew is able to do that, he's able to ensure the best way to do it by watching it over, that's considered okay. But he points out that even in Shulchan Aruch it's beferish that when it comes to the Lisha, when you're starting to knead it, you still need that a Yisrael Omer al-Gabav is not valid anymore. At that point, a Yisrael has to do the Shmira. Because the Chassam Sofer points out, because when you're doing the Gibul, when you're actually putting the water with the dough, that's actually what's considered the Shmira at that point. Not just making sure it doesn't become chametz, but actually actively making sure turning it into matzah, and that's something that only a Jew is able to do. That's why he points out, so he justifies the minhag ha'olam. The second point over here is that based on Rava, we see that lechora it should be actually preferable to soak the grains. So that already the Rav Yosher just quotes the Rambam and others that quote in the name of the Gaonim that we already stopped that process because we're afraid people aren't going to do it carefully enough, and therefore that's not something that it's not something we do. We don't soak the grains at all. Lamaisa, even but the evid we hold that it shouldn't be eaten on Pesach even if you accidentally did that. And then there's one last shaila is this din of the shmira, is that a mitzvah and a mufkar mamish ma'aki? That's machlokas Rishonim. Is it considered mamish? Mitzvah and a mufkar is just the best thing to do, and if you didn't, it would still be okay. Or is it mamish ma'akev lamaisa? Again, we almost all the ones that you'll find and you'll have eaten is going to be shmura mitzvahs ktirasa because we are machmir for that for sure lechachila. Now the Gemara continues. Mar brei deravina. Turning on to the next time. But now minkas lehei ima be'arbe. His mother stored a lot of grain for him in the basin, so he was. This is a raya for Rava right now that he would keep them specifically for the purpose of Pesach to have lishma, and so that's just a. Raya for Rava. We don't go more than 2 days without mentioning the famous grub about the 7 days of matzah being a mitzvah kiyumis to have matzah all 7 days. The Netziv in one of his farm, I forgot which one. The Netziv brings a raya for the grub from this Gemara all the time. The Gemara we try to bring different rayas. On so many different Gemaras, this is another Raya that Netziv brings a Raya for, because he says, why was he storing grains in all these big basins? They're not for a long time. All you needed a kazayas of matzah, okay, so store it in one little thing. He says, it sounds over years using these big kalim to store it in, sound like he was having a lot of matzah. What was he having a lot of matzah for? He doesn't need the lishma to be the shmir mershas kitzirasa from day two and onward. It's Elamai, it says the Netziv, it must be he was matzah, he understood that there was a mitzvah kiyumis to have it all 7 days, and therefore he had a lot of matzah throughout the chag of Pesach. Interesting raya from this Gemara. Now the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, "Ahu arba dechite." There was a ship that had wheat on it. The tava bechishasa, so it sank in the small river. Shari Rava is munin lenachem. So Rava permitted whatever wheat was able to be saved. So it already went into the water. So therefore, it's a chashasha becoming chametz. You're allowed to sell them to the goyim, but not to the Jews, because it was going to become chametz and it was about to be Pesach. So therefore, don't sell it to the Jews. The Gemara says, "Esi ve Rava bar Levi le Rava." Rabbi Levi asked a kasha on this based on Rava. Beged sh'avad b'klav. If you have a garment which had klav and it became lost in your garments, harei zelo yimak l'nachri. So you're not allowed to sell your garments to a goy, because normally you're allowed to sell klav to a goy if it's nicker where it was, so a Jew would know not to buy it. That would be okay. But here, you have no idea where the klav was, so you're afraid that this goy would then in turn sell it to a Jew. So that's why it's not allowed to be sold. V'lo yaseh bo mardas l'chamar. Also shouldn't use it for a saddle for the donkey, because you're afraid a person's going to use it for his own warmth. So that's going to be aser. Aval osno so tachrich in the mace. However, you can use it as a shroud for a dead body. So that's going to be okay. And Rashi writes, why is it okay to do it for a mace? Because we know that a mace ain mitzvos noagos bo. Rashi says tichsiv a maceim chafshi. The pasuk, that a mace isn't going to be chayvin. It says that the pasuk says maceim chafshi. Then a mace is chafshi, is free. Kevan shemace adam nasachat shemitz says once a person is dead, he doesn't have to do any mitzvos. Says Rav Yashiv, why do I need a pasuk to tell me that a dead person is not subject to mitzvos or averos? One, the world is a havamina. A dead person is going to be chayvin a mitzvah. A dead person is going to be chayvin averos. He's dead. That's the whole point. Says Rav Yashiv, that's a fascinating thing. He says, no, we don't really know what shaychus the neshama has to the body after it's dead. So really, in a certain level, you would have thought averas would still affect the neshama even after the body is dead. And there would be some sort of averas that would be shaykh to the dead body, and therefore you need a pasuk. That's why you need the pasuk that Rashi quotes of Meisim Chashi, that I would have had a havamina that, because again, we don't know what dargas of mace and the yediyah to Hashem, so that's such a deep thing, we don't know, and that's why you need the pasuk to tell me the mace is pater from mitzvahs. Fascinating thing. Tosas just asked a question. Tosas asked, what do you mean? Wait a second over here. We know there's a concept of loeg l'rash, that the pasuk says loeg l'rash cherev asar, that you're embarrassing a person was poor, and you're making an embarrassment, a mockery of him. Why is that? So that's referring to a dead person, that you're going out with your tzitzis. And where has this lashon by menachos, that you go with your tzitzis to the cemetery? You're showing the dead body, oh, I could do mitzvahs and you can't do mitzvahs. So it's not nice. So, because you're showing a poor person their money, basically you're shoving it in his face. So Tosfos asks, shouldn't it be the same thing by Navira? Why are you putting klayim on the mace? Isn't that a problem of loeg l'rash? So Rabbeinu Tam says maybe loeg l'rash only applies to tzitzis, because tzitzis is such a chashuv mitzvah, and that's connected. We know it's connected all the mitzvahs. The reason kol mitzvahs say, right? It's connected zechartim as kol mitzvahs Hashem. Milamet shkul and tzitzis connected all mitzvahs. Tosfos says, and therefore maybe that only specifically it applies to that. Fascinating Tosfos. But Lamaisa, that's a question that comes up: is why isn't it a problem of loeg l'rash? The Gemara continues. The Gemara says again. So then. So the Gemara just fleshes out. Why can't you sell the garment to a goy? So the Gemara says, Lamishim dahadr mizabin liYisrael. Isn't it because he's then going to sell it to a Jew and is causing a Jew to violate the Isser Kalim? So the same thing over here. Why would Rava say that the wheat is mutter to sell to a goy? Again, this is the whole concept of the way we come onto this. Is why is Rava allowed to sell it to a goy when he in turn is going to sell it to a Jew, which would obviously be a problem? So the Gemara says, Hadar Marva. So therefore, in fact, Rava says, you're right. He agreed with that taina. And therefore, he says, Labdino kama kama liYisrael. Sell one kav, a small amount, to a Jew at a time, right before Pesach. You don't sell too much to one family, therefore you know he's going to get rid of it before Pesach. And therefore, he lechora, that's a shayla rishonim. Do you have to actually tell him specifically? By the way, this is a chash chametz, lechora you should, but that's a shayla. Do you have a chiv to tell him that or not? That's a shayla rishonim. The Gemara continues now. Tanur Rabbanan, we learn in the Braisa, in Milalan es HaKedira b'Pesach. One shouldn't add flour to a cooking pot on Pesach, but Rotsa Shimlo, however, one who does want to add flour to it, Nosin es HaKemach should put the flour in first, then you should put in vinegar, because we're assuming right now adding vinegar to the pot is going to have the cooking pastas come quickly, and therefore make sure that the flour is going to be fully cooked before it can become chametz. The Gemara continues, the Gemara says, "Yesh omrim af nosin es chametz." So the Gemara says that some say that you should even put vinegar first into the pot, and afterwards put flour into the pot, and that'd be okay. The Gemara says, "Man yesh omrim." Who is the Tana that is referred to the yesh omrim? Rav Chista, Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Chista says it's the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. It's not as we learn in the Mishnah. Ilfas ve'akedir shevin meruschin. If you have a frying pan or a pot which someone removed from the fire while boiling, lo yitzel asoch l'tavim. Someone shouldn't add spices to them. And because that's what we know, this is talking about Hilchos Shabbos now. And when it comes to adding things to the thing that was a clear rishon off the ish, that is a shaila. The Bavli seem to assume that that's an iser d'oraisa. That's how we seem halachamaisa. A clear rishon that's a yad to lettuce, but that's boiling hot. That is going, if a person puts other things into it to cook it, that's an iser d'oraisa of bishul. That's told us, or we hold told us, or is an iser d'oraisa. The Yerushalmi seems to only assume that only if it's mamish on the fire and yatzalatus po would it be an iser d'oraisa. But we hold like the Bavli, that's an iser d'oraisa. So the Gemara continues, the Gemara says, so that was lo yitin l'tochotav, then aval tochon l'ka'arab, you put into a bowl or l'tochotam ko, you could then put that in a liquid. So what's the difference over here? Because this is a klisheni over here. Putting these items into a klisheni, that is going to be mutter. That's going to be mutter. Tosas just points out that, is that really true though? So what is that true by everything that you can put something into a klisheni? There's going to be certain things which Tosa says is mechse kimevashel. So the Tosa says here specifically this din, because Tosa says akasha from the Gemara in Shabbos implies that you can't put everything into kli sheni. So Tosa says you're right, you can't put everything into kli sheni. But tavin over here, these spices, there osim lemachek akadir, but lo mechse kimevashel. Tosa says specifically spices are not a problem mechse kimevashel. However, other things would be a problem in a kli sheni, and they would be a problem of mechse kimevashel. So if you paskin like this Tosa, Rabbi Yoshev just points out that when it comes to kli sheni, we're going to have this problem mechse kimevashel. Then something that the Tiferes Yisrael based on this Tosas wants to learn Ladina, then it's going to be usher to put cold milk into your boiling hot coffee. Because if it's going to be boiling hot, mamash yatzal lettuce bo, and we, even though you do, you, it goes through a process of being pasteurized, that's not necessarily going to be considered mevushal. So that's the shaila. Is that mevushal not? But assuming that it's not mevushal, then you have a davar lach that's not mevushal yet, and putting it to klisheni, so that would be looking, that would be mechsik mevashal, that would be a problem, that would be a problem or not. That's the shaila in the poskim, whether we're cholishish for that. There are many achorim, Rav Yashav, but the Yashav seems to, again, I don't know, it seems to be that he would going like that, at least be cholishish for it. He quotes as a mandamar, I'm not sure he passing like that, but lechora, that is a very interesting thing that comes out of this din over here. So, but again, why are we bringing at this point? Because we just brought this for the aga point. Rabbi Yudamir Kolo Nosin, that you could add spices to anything. This is the point where we're bringing this out, because you could bring it out except for vinegar or fresh vine. We see that Rabbi Yudah holds that vinegar enhances the power of cooking, even when it is something that is in the hot liquid before its spices are added. So the Gemara points out that that's Rabbi Yudah. The Gemara says, Nukmak Rabbi Yossi, so why don't we assume that the Tana is really Rabbi Yossi, the son, really, it's a Raisa. Rabbi Yossi, Omer Shoran Bechometz, Rabbi Yossi says, you should soak them in vinegar, and the vinegar is going to contract them. So the Gemara says, why can't it be Rabbi Yossi? Ki yashvina le Rabbi Yossi, because when do we hear the sheet about Rabbi Yossi, but it's going to say that it's become chametz, that's only when the vinegar is intact, it's undiluted, but when it's in a mixture, we don't necessarily know this din, and therefore we can't assume that this sheet of Rabbi Yossi is a sheet of the Braisa. So the Gemara says, Ula Amar Echazev Echazev Aser. Both ways are going to be Aser. Meaning, when the vinegar is before the flour or after the flour, it doesn't matter. It's going to be Aser according to Ula Mishum Lech Lech Amir Nazira. That we say Schor Schor the Karmelo Sikrav. That we're generally Machmir when it comes to Nazir. We're very Machmir with things to make sure that to not even come into a vineyard lest he become he's going to be a Yetzer Hara. So that here also you should be careful to distance yourself from something that's going to be an Avera, and adding flour in any way might become Chametz, and therefore we just be extra Machmir over here. The Gemara continues, Rapapi Sharle le Bur Dekeh the Beresh Kalus. Rapapi gave permission to the bakers in the house of Beresh Kalus, so the Macha Ketera Bachasise, to thicken the pot with flour made of oven dried grain. That's what came up over here. And the Gemara says, Rava says, rejected this. Abar Rava, Ika de Sharki Milsa. You're going to let them do this? Beduke de Shchav Dide, a place where. Who is over there? All these housekeepers. They don't care about the halacha. They don't know the halacha. They're not careful. And therefore, these slaves are going to lead to an Avera. So you should not permit the use of this flour with the dried wheat. That should be users. So that's what Rava wants to say. Ikud Amri, some say a different version of what happened over here. Rava Gufe, Gufa Machale Kedir Bechasis. Rava himself would take in the pot, flour of a dried grain over here. So therefore, that would be that he himself didn't necessarily hold it was the biggest issue. Now we're up to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, A nosin kemach latoch sola. Someone shouldn't add flour to kemach, sorry, not latoch, the so charoses. You shouldn't add flour to charoses. The charos over here is not the charoses that we generally know of, the charoses that we eat in the Seder. That's later on we're going to talk about it. Here, this charoses just means any dip that was used with wheat. It had vinegar and they added flour to it. So that's this, you shouldn't have it together, or you shouldn't add flour to a mustard on Pesach, because we're afraid it's going to become chametz. In miyasan, it's going to become chametz quickly. So what if you accidentally did this, or even mazed yochamiyad, if you eat it immediately, it wouldn't be a problem. Rebbe Oser is afraid, even in that circumstance, and therefore he's going to be machmer. In vashin as a pesach, one shouldn't cook the pesach. Lo be mashkin, neither with liquids. Lo be piros, it's usher to cook it. The chiddush over here is that even maybe piros are going to be usher. Avasachin repilos lo behen. However, one may simply smooth them out with dip them into them into these things and not necessarily cook with them. That's the chiddush over here. So then we continue and we say, if the water used by a baker, well, over here we're talking about the water that the baker used to cool his hands when he was preparing the dough, that's what Rashi explains. Yishavchu, you should pour them out, because they become chametz. So Zakta Gemara, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Kahana, machlokas asocha chardel. The machlokas over here is only in the case of adding flour into a mustard. Aval asocha roses, but in the case of into the charoses, everyone agreed that you can't have it at all, and you should be burned immediately. Even the chametz are going to be machmir over here. But Tanya Mehachi, Brisa supports this cheetah, enos the chametz asocha charoses. charoses, shouldn't add flour to charoses. If nasan, you start me out. If he did add flour to it, it should be burned immediately. The sof chardel have it mustard. Rabbi Meir, this is the machlokas. Rabbi Meir is going to say it also should be burned in that case immediately. Chachamim malcha yochem. No, in this case you'd be allowed to eat it, and that's the machlokas only with regards to mustard. But with regards to charoses, according to Rav Kana, it's going to be completely osir. So says the Gemara now. Amar Rav Huna, Breid Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel. Halacha k'divrei chachamim. The halacha is going to follow chachamim that one's allowed to eat the mixture right away. So the Gemara says, which chachamim? Amar Rav Nachman, Yitzchak, Rav Huna, Breid Rav Yehuda. Turning on to the next time. But now, so what's the situation of charoses kamar? Is he going to be referring to that even charoses against Rav Huna? Oh, chardel kamar, or referring to specifically only the case of mustard, and that would be like Rav Huna. Amar Le Rav Huna responds to Rav Nachman. Lamai nafkamina. What's the difference? L'derav Kahana. Sorry, not Rav Huna. Rav Kahana is the one who said this chiluk. Are you going to be a machmer for Rav Kahana or not? Amar Rav Kahana machlokas l'socha chardel. Rav Kahana said the machlokas the chamin or meir, as we mentioned before, is only with regards to mustard about l'socha charoses, but with regards to the charoses over here, different akol yisarf man. Everyone agrees that the mixture should be burned immediately. So Amar Leis, so therefore Rav Huna responded back to Rav Nachman, Loshmili, Klomar Loshmili. Rav Huna actually rejected Rav Kahana, even though Rav Kahana had a brisa supporting him. We see that Rav Huna would say that the Chachamim would allow both cases, both the Charoses against Rav Kahana, and also that of the, not just the Charoses, but also the Chardal, both those cases, the mustard seed is going to be mutter as well. Okay, we'll pick up with Amar Avashi, Be'ezras Hashem, tomorrow.